All right, Sarah, so I'm going to ask you, number one, you are a phenomenal storyteller.
Thank you.
Details are unbelievable. I could picture everything from the chamber to the, all of it. And so my first question to you is, what was it like hearing yourself tell the story?
It was almost like I was just seeing it through somebody else's eyes. Like, even though it was me telling the story and I'm picturing it in my head, as I'm listening to the story, I can picture it in my head without having to be there.
So now knowing that this story is recorded, how does that make you feel that it's locked up and it's saved forever?
Super cool.
Why?
Because I don't know what's going to happen. You know, as I get older, you know, one of the things that I think scares me the most is you forget over time those things and those experiences that have happened. And you lose, you know, it's kind of like the telephone game, you know, every single year that you get older, I lose a little bit more information. And then somebody will remind me, my children will remind me, and they'll say, well, remember, Mom, when this happened? And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. And then I remember the entire story. But sometimes it takes somebody to jog my memory of those stories. And one of these days, there may not be somebody next to me that'll jog my memory. And then the story just dies.
So what details did you remember that you forgot when you were talking the first time and recorded?
I remember now that there was women that were at the Department of Corrections. And that was something that, you know, was crazy. Back in the 1800s, you know, they just didn't intermix men and women. But some of the more, what they quote unquote, dangerous women, you know, did for their crime. They wound up there. But there was one that I remember, and it kind of struck me because my children are 16 and 19. But there was a little African-American boy at the age of 14 had been accused of rape and murder. It was in the 1800s. I don't remember exactly when, but, you know, the prison opened in 1836. It's 100 years older than Alcatraz. I just pulled up the website just to jog my memory. And 14 years old, he's a child, back in the 1800s, accused of rape and murder of a woman, and was the youngest to die in the gas chamber. And gosh, that just kind of hits home, you know, because my children are older than this little boy. And, you know, it was just an accusation at the time. And, you know, I don't know if he was ever exonerated for the crime, but I can't imagine, you know, living in those times and in the South, pretty much. It was a Confederate-based state. This kid didn't even have a chance. But then also, you know, I've been to several places where I just walk into a home, you know, and I just don't want to be there. There's just something creepy about it. But I can tell you that I have never, other than having some persnickety spirits, felt like in danger. I've never felt like somebody wanted to harm me, you know, maybe just fuck with me a little bit, but never like out and outright hurt me. I think I felt more like comfort and love than, you know, just being scared kind of thing.
So who would you want to share the recording with that you'd want them to know that experience?
Well, I don't know, just anybody, I guess. You know, my family, my kids. They'll probably think I'm crazy, you know. But it's true, you know. I mean, it's from my perspective, that's exactly how everything happened.
Do you think after they listen to the story, if you're with them or if you're not with them, do you think they will end up asking more questions, getting more involved, and that's kind of a new talk track for you guys?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I think my kids would even, you know, my ex-husband, my son still live in Missouri. I bet you when my daughter goes back to visit, she's going to want to do a tour of her own. And you have to be at least, I don't know if it's 16 or 18 to do like the overnight thing, but, you know, old enough, you can't be, children can't attend. But I think it's something that after hearing my stories, they would go and experience for themselves and maybe get some of the same results as what I've had. It's very possible. You never know what could happen.
So the purpose of Voices Live On is being able to capture those stories from that first person perspective and let the other people learn from them, experience them whenever they want, forever. Mm-hmm. So do you see how this could become something that really motivates somebody to keep contributing, mm-hmm. because they want their family and people that are close to them to know what they know?
Yeah. And I think it actually helps the grieving process when you can listen back at somebody's stories and know that they lived, that they actually spent the time here making memories and doing stuff that they wanted to do and enjoyed those times. And I think that you can appreciate them in death by knowing that they had such a great life. And, you know, while you can love them and miss them, know that ultimately, like, there is that light at the end of the tunnel. And it's how you, you know, go about using this life to get there. And that they're there, you know. You'll see them again.
So if this was available on your phone for you to do this for your own stories whenever you wanted, is this something you think that has value?
Mm-hmm. I absolutely do.
Yes. That's great.
What you are doing is important.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Love you.
Love you too.
Okay.